Ready to go?
Yes.
Good afternoon. My name is Owen Egan, and I am the chairman of the Freedom of Information Commission. This is the regular meeting of the commission, February 22nd, 2023. The public may listen to the meeting in real time by following the instructions listed at the top of the commission's meeting agenda currently posted on the commission's website. In addition, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety. For the benefit of the public, particularly those who may be listening, the meeting by telephone, I will take a roll call so that the record reflects who is participating today. When I say your name, please state that you are present. Mr. Barry. Mr. Einhorn.
He said present.
I know, you said present. Oh. It's hard to hear you.
Sorry, I'm sorry about that, present.
Oh, okay, great. Commissioner Fuzeci.
Here.
Mr. Hankins?
Here.
Mr. Streeter?
Here.
And myself, Owen Egan, here. Similarly, when the commission conducts the vote, it will be by roll call. The first item is consideration of the minutes of the commission meeting of February 8th, 2023. Do I hear a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, I move the minutes of the commission's regular meeting of February 8th, 2023 for adoption.
Mr. Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeci?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, yes. The first item is consideration of the minutes of the commission meeting. Next, we will consider the hearing officer's reports. I will call the docket. If you wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when I call it and we will mark it ready. We will take up the cases in the order that they are called. Docket number FIC 2020-0212, Joshua Smith versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, and State of Connecticut, Department of Correction. Are you there, Mr. Smith?
Yes, I am, Chairman.
Would you like to be heard?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Is there anyone here from the State of Connecticut?
Yes. Tracy Brown with the Department of Correction.
Hi, Attorney Brown. How are you?
How are you?
Good. All right. Next is docket number FIC. Yeah, we'll mark it right. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0005, Victor Velasco versus Angel Quiros, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Are you there, Mr. Velasco?
Yes, I am.
Would you like to be heard?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Is there anybody here from the State of Connecticut?
Yes, sir. Tracy Brown again for the department.
Okay, thank you, Attorney Brown. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0006, Victor Velasco versus Angel Curris, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Mr. Velasco, would you wish to be heard on that matter?
Yes, I do, please.
Okay, that matter was withdrawn, sir. You withdrew it?
That's 0006.
Correct.
Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right.
So can we just act on that at this point?
Sure.
All right. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, as it was mentioned, this was withdrawn and dismissed. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeci?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. So that one's disposed of. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0113, John Kaminsky versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Administrative Services, et al. Are you there, Mr. Kaminsky? Okay. Is there anyone there from the State of Connecticut?
Yep, Attorney LaPorte for the respondent, Department of Correction, or intervener, rather, Department of Correction.
Would you like to be heard?
Nope, urged option of hearing
officer's report. Okay, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, seeing that the complainant is not participating and no objection of the respondents, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeci?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is FIC 2020-0504, John Haythorne and Greg Haythorne versus Chairman, Board of Finance, Town of Weston. et al. Jen Hathan or Greg Haythorne, please. Jen or Greg Haythorne.
This one, Mr. Chairman, I think the hearing officer just has a minor amendment to the report.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's just the title of the report. I just think, if you recall, this matter came before the commission and it was remanded. After the matter was remanded and I sent out an order to submit affidavits, we received a withdrawal from the complainants. So I issued, this is a second report, which just basically reflects what I just stated. So the report really should be called Report of Hearing Officer after remand. So right now it just says Report of Hearing Officer. I would propose that we amend that caption to say Report of Hearing Officer after remand. Thank you.
Thank you, Attorney Russ. Would you amend, please?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move that we amend the title of the report for the request of the hearing officer.
Commissioner Hack, second.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor of the amendment only. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeci.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Amendment passes unanimously. Take a...
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter again. I'll move adoption of the amended hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion on the report as amended? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeci.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Attorney Ross. Docket number FIC 2020-0659, Bobby Simmons versus Office of City Attorney, City of Bridgeport, and City of Bridgeport. Are you there, Mr. Simmons? Is there anyone here from the City of Bridgeport?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Dean Scalo from the Office of the City Attorney for our office.
Okay. Would you like to be heard?
Yes, please.
Okay, so we'll mark that ready. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0153, Preston Schultz versus Board of Finance, Town of Woodstock, and Town of Woodstock. Is Preston Schultz there, please? Preston Schultz. How about anyone from the Town of Woodstock? I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, this was a dismissal. Seeing neither the complainant nor the respondent, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Mr. Hackett, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Mr. Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeci.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan. Yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0175, Robert Cushman versus Jason Thode, Chief Police Department, City of Hartford et al. Is Robert Cushman there, please?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, I meant to mention this at the beginning, but this matter was marked off.
Okay, so we'll mark that off. Thank you. All right, next is docket number FIC 2022-0104, Joseph Sargent versus Chief Police Department, City of Bridgeport et al. Is Joseph Sargent there, please? Is there anyone here from the City of Bridgeport?
Yes, Dean Scalo here again for the respondents. I don't need to be heard for this one.
Thank you, Attorney Scalo. I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, there was no order in this case. I move adoption of the hearing officer.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Mr. Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeci.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Attorney Scalo. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0126, Christopher Tobiah versus Director Human Resources, City of New Haven et al. Is Christopher Tobiah there, please? Is there anyone here from the City of New Haven? I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, seeing neither the respondent nor the complainant are here, I move it up to the hearing officer.
Commissioner Hackett, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? With that, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeci.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0127, Anita Arakalian versus Chair, Board of Education, West Hartford Public Schools, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Anita Arakalian.
Thank you.
That's the last one.
Yes, I see that, the last one. So you want to be heard on that?
Yes.
And you want to be heard on the last one?
Yes, please.
Okay, so we'll mark it ready. Do we need a motion right now to combine those two?
I don't think you ought to combine them, but you might be able to take them in order.
So when this one comes up, take the next one after it?
Perhaps, yes.
Okay, all right. All right, when we...
Sure.
Yes. Cynthia Latour?
Yes.
Okay, and you're on behalf of the first one?
For both.
Oh, for both, okay. Thank you. All right, next is docket number FIC 2022-0146, Shannon Silvestri versus Chairman, Board of Education, Killingly Public Schools, et al. Is Shannon Silvestri there, please? Is there anyone here from the Killingly Public Schools?
Yes, Your Honor, Attorney Deborah Stevenson for the respondents. No comment.
Thank you, Attorney. Thank you, Counsel. I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, in this case, the complainant failed to appear. Yes. It's dismissed with no objection of the respondent. I move adoption of the hearing officer.
Commissioner Hackensack.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Giuseppe.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0174, Holly Nugent versus Chief Police Department, Town of Guilford Police Department, et al. Are you there, Holly Nugent?
I'm Tom Aruga from Pullman and Conley for Holly Nugent.
Okay, thank you. Would you like to be heard?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Is there anyone there for the Town of Guilford?
Yes, Tucker McQuinney, Sussman Duffy, Segaloff for the respondents.
Thank you. And then last, we have docket number FIC 2022-0181, Anita Arakalian versus Superintendent of Schools, West Hartford Public Schools, et al. You'd like to be heard on that one. Mr. Rothman. And counsel, we'll mark that ready. Okay, thank you. I'll just disclose for the record, I am a resident of West Hartford. I'm also a probate judge in West Hartford. I don't think that there's any conflict with me sitting on these matters. If either party would like me to recuse myself, I recuse myself.
No objection.
Okay. I'll state it again for the record when it comes up. Thank you. Before we consider the cases, I would ask the Executive Director, Colleen Murphy, to please make the usual announcements.
Sure. As the Chairman indicated at the start of the meeting, this matter is being recorded in its entirety. There's no need for you to ask for a recording, and we'll make that recording available on our website very soon after the meeting. And then pursuant to our regulations, oral arguments 10 minutes per side, and I'll keep track of that for the parties.
Okay. All right, so the first matter that we have on the agenda is FIC 2020-0212, Joshua Smith versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Are you there, Mr. Smith?
Yes, I am here, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. And Attorney Brown?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So would you like to begin, Mr. Smith?
Yes, first of all, good afternoon to our commissioners and yourself as chairman.
Good afternoon.
This is an ongoing matter that I'm dealing with now in the Department of Correction for several years. Part of it was due to the pandemic of the COVID, which had stopped for a while. However, on the docket number, F1C 2020-0212, 02112. There's two matters that I address. The first one was a FOI request, which I filed to the Department of Correction to get some response from a FOI request I made to the commissioner. DOC has blatantly trying not to provide me with the response, which I'm looking for. It was a letter wrote to previous DOC Commissioner Scott Simple. The letter was mailed October of 2017. The response that I'm looking for in question, it was acknowledged by the DOC, by the Department of Correction headquarters. That I was provided with a tracking number and also a receipt stamp on said letter. I asked on numerous occasions to get the commissioner's response, which is very vital to what I'm trying to accomplish. And for some reason, Mr. Anthony Campanelli, who represents the DOC FOI liaison, has blatantly telling me there's no record of said letter other than a copy of the letter or and the FOI response. But I find it very difficult to see that the said FOI request has a tracking device, which I believe is the only reason for it to have a tracking device is because it was in the data system. So I filed the FOI to you guys trying to get some assistance with DOC to provide the response from the commissioner office. They are not saying they did not receive the FOI. They're just saying they cannot locate any response from said FOI letter the commissioner, which I find is very odd. So I'm just asking for you guys' assistance because there's no way it should have a tracking device and it's not in their data system. I'm asking you guys to please provide any assistance you can so that DOC can turn over these responses to you, please.
Thank you. Attorney Brown.
Good afternoon, Tracy Brown, representing the respondent, Department of Correction. We urge adoption of the hearing officer's report. The statements that the complainant has made today were also stated at the hearing on this matter, so all the evidence with respect to the records he's seeking has been put on the record. The hearing officer found that a diligent search was conducted. We testified that several searches were conducted for these records. This is not the first time this complainant has asked for these same records. There is a previous FOI decision.
Can I hear Attorney Brown? I'm sorry, please.
Could you speak up, please?
Certainly. There was a previous FOI decision in which the same records were sought, and it was found in that case as well that a search was conducted and no records existed. We conducted several additional searches pursuant to this particular FOI request and the hearing, and there are no records responsive to his request. That testimony was provided. It was credible. The hearing officer found that no records exist. And to that point, there's nothing left to do. There simply are no records responsive to his request. And so, again, the respondents urge adoption of the hearing officer's report as written.
Thank you. Do the commissioners have any questions?
No, thank you.
Okay. With that, I entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeshi.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Chairman O'Neill. Yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Thank you, Attorney Brown.
Thank you.
Next is docket number FIC 2021-0005, Victor Velasco versus Angel Quiros, Commissioner of State of Connecticut, Department of Correction. At Al. Are you there, Mr. Velasco?
Yes, I am, Commissioner.
And Attorney Brown is still here. So
yes, thank you. Anyway,
so would you like to begin, Mr. Velasco?
Yes, good afternoon. The matter before the commission right now is my request for the protective custody package. The respondent did submit 9 pages of that package. However, to initiate such a package, I was placed into protective custody involuntarily, and I never received a hearing or notice, but per administrative directive, which is a policy that the Department of Corrections is supposed to follow, Section 9, Paragraph E, is Bates, that I'm supposed to be given before I'm placed into protective custody, I'm to be giving notice that such a placement is going to occur at least 48 hours prior. In none of the documents that the respondent submitted, does it state that there was a hearing held, that there was a notice, or that I was even given any notice? And that's what I'm looking for, that notice. Without that, the entire process is illegal. And still, the commissioner still won't provide it.
Thank you, Attorney Brown.
Thank you again. This is Tracy Brown for the respondent. We urge adoption of the hearing officer's report. Nothing that the complainant has stated today would suggest that any of the findings or conclusions in the report are in error. The evidence on the record is that the complainant was provided with a redacted copy of the records that he sought. They are what they are. To the extent that there are any other issues that don't pertain to the disclosure of records that he requested, I respectfully submit that they are not. This is not the appropriate forum for him to address those problems. There is other mechanisms within the department that he can address those issues. And so we urge adoption of the hearing officer's report as written.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions? I entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I'll move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Mr. Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Giuseppe?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Plasko. Thank you, Attorney Brown.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, moving on. Docket number FIC 2020-0659, Bobby Simmons versus Office of the City Attorney, City of Bridgeport et al. Is Bobby Simmons there, please? It's just you, Attorney Scalo. All right. You go ahead. You can begin.
All right, thank you. So just a couple quick points on the proposed final decision. Largely, the respondents don't take issue with a lot of the factual findings. It's more the assessment of the weight to those facts that were found that seems to be incongruous with the evidence in the record. So specifically, we're talking about really the promptness issue, which has been a recurring issue for the city of Bridgeport. We absolutely acknowledge that. We're working on the process to fix those issues. But as it relates to the facts in this case, the evidence in the record really does point to a much more balanced weighing of the factors in advisory opinion 151, than the proposed final decision would reflect. The proposed final decision really only dedicates one paragraph to the respondents' evidence that was put forth, and a lot of evidence was put forth over the course of two hearings as to processing of requests in the city, the number of requests that the city attorney's office is tasked with handling, the extremely limited staff at all relevant portions of time as it relates to this request. And I would like to go over some of those facts today. One of them is that there was a lot of evidence put forth as to the limited staff in the city attorney's office. So just to recap, the city attorney's office is really where largely all of the FOI requests in writing that are made to the city are funneled through at all relevant times. In this case, there was one staff member, who was myself, who was tasked with the legal review of all the documents that were being disclosed through the city attorney's office. Given that, given the fact that there, I believe, were over 2,000 requests open at the time, it really is an unfortunate reality that each individual request takes a lot of time to be reviewed and produced. Even requests for what appear to be relatively simple, straightforward records. And I think that that's a fact that wasn't really a lot of weight in this case. The respondents set forth with respect to Mr. Simmons' request that even though the page number was not, inordinately voluminous, which is mentioned in the proposed final decision, the fact that there are so many requests really being bottlenecked through one individual, that's where the majority of the delay comes from. It's not as though this request was particularly burdensome in and of itself, but given the greater circumstances, it inevitably results in this delay. The respondents are entitled to have counsel review the records that are being produced before they're produced. There's a lot of case law before the commission that reflects that fact. And in and of itself, it doesn't necessarily draw the conclusion that there was a violation of the promptness provisions of the Act. And so in this case, we would liken it to a recent decision that was affirmed by the Superior Court, McCoy versus Freedom of Information Commission, where the Superior Court affirmed the commission's finding that the city of Bridgeport in particular did not violate the promptness provisions of the Act, even though it disclosed records, I believe, in the neighborhood of 9 months after the request was made, because given all the circumstances, given the context of the request, the number of other tasks the city department was responsible for, given all of those factors as one, which is the way that Advisory Opinion 51 kind of directs the commission to view these types of facts patterns, there was no violation of the promptness provision in that case. So we would liken that case to this one, that given all of the facts and circumstances of this case, given the COVID closures to the Office of the City Attorney that were somewhat addressed in the proposed final decision, but to which there was a lot of testimony provided at both the evidentiary hearings about, given the extent of the search, given the volume of records and the limited staff, our position is that it isn't appropriate to find a violation. Just because that it was disclosure wasn't necessarily as prompt as we would have loved it to be, doesn't necessarily warrant a finding that the respondents willfully violated the promptness provisions of the Act. So that really sums up a lot of the argument that I would like to present today. With respect to the order for a subsequent search, there was evidence in the record provided by the record keeper of the Office of the City Attorney at the second hearing that talked about the scope of the search for records and how nothing was located. You know, the respondents, we certainly don't mind conducting another search. It's, you know, it's part of our responsibility and there's no issue with doing that. But I just wanted to highlight that there is evidence in the record that talks about that search for the record that could not be located. And I think that's essentially boils down to my issues with the proposed final decision. I'd be glad to answer any questions that the commissioners might have, but that's really all I have.
Thank you. Any questions?
Commissioner Street. I mean, I'm sympathetic to, you know, the city plight, especially during COVID, and that you're really the funnel for that. I understand that being a worker in a municipality where I'm the one responsible for it, but I have a town that's a fraction the size of Bridgeport. Bridgeport's the largest city in the state to have only one person be that worse. And this is nothing new. You've heard me say this before. So, I mean, I understand that, but it's if the, you know, the hearing officer, you know, says it's prompted, I know you're working on improving things there. So I think that as far as that, on the part about the, I just had one quick question for the hearing officer. Is Danielle's not here?
She is not here.
Well, it's just about the, you know, the search that the respondent, Attorney Scallow, had brought up. I don't think that's necessarily, I guess, make it or break it that I would vote against this. I just wanted a little background on that. It sounded from the respondents that you know it would not they would do it if we agreed to that. But if she was here, I would just ask if this was something that we actually needed to do. If they've already presented testimony, as our ears as the hearing officer, that this would be just really for an office that's already stretched thin to do it and have an additional search done. So, but other than that, I have no objection to the hearing officer's report as written.
My couple of comments, yes, you called several. The administrative bottleneck is noted at paragraph 17. And, I feel sorry for you, Attorney Scala. I know you're a very good attorney. I've had at least one case in front of me. You know, you're good at what you do. And I'm sorry that you're here all the time getting beaten up by us.
I appreciate
that. You know, the painful task is yours, you know. But, you know, they do note in the hearing report about the bottleneck, the administrative bottleneck. And paragraphs 14 and 19 is probably elsewhere discusses the evidence, the search, and everything. So the administrative hearing officer noted that. And it seems like, it was a simple request that was delayed and denied, for I think it was over a year or thereabouts. But I mean, it's very tough, and I know, you know, other municipalities are attacking this differently, and I would imagine Bridgeport is too now. So good luck to you. But I mean, I think this hearing report was accurately reviewed the events that we were encountered.
I think I read in recent publication that the system in Bridgeport were trying to more timely respond to FYC requests is now in process of being instituted. So I think maybe the new process will make things move better, and sincerely hope it will. We'll have the involvement of the law department continue, but with more people and more direction involved, maybe make the process more compliant and faster. So in that regard, I'm particularly think it's very timely that we have included in this hearing officer's report a requirement for training. And I believe that should be a very timely event right now with so many new people involved, at least a commitment to involve a whole new set of people. So I think that requirement, that will help, and I'm glad it's in this report at this time.
Mr. Streeter, your suggestion was, and this is all in eating for the record, your suggestion was that the first paragraph be removed, requiring a second search.
I wanted to hear what the other commissioners thought. I didn't. It sounded like that from the respondent had mentioned that they'd be happy to do it, except that there was evidence that was put on at the hearing at the end, and without the hearing officer here to testify, that, you know, the California actually just testified. And if we can only go by what the hearing officer put in her hearing officer's report. If it went away, I'd be, you know, content to vote for it. If the will of the commission is to leave it in, then I would still vote.
So, Attorney Scala, it's your statement or opinion, you know, as an officer of the court, that you've already done this additional search?
It's not that the additional search was conducted. So there was a search that was conducted which located a number of records. My recollection is that there was 1 year, one contract that was not located. And it's referenced in the second paragraph on the first page that there was an affidavit from the record keeper as to the general information regarding the search. And she also appeared at the second hearing to talk about the search. So my representation is that, again, we have no problem conducting an additional search, but I was a bit perplexed as to the suggestion that there wasn't enough evidence in the record regarding that search. But again, if that's a big issue for this body, we have no objection to conducting that additional search. I just wanted to place it on the record that there is evidence as to that first search that was conducted.
Do you feel that a thorough search has been done?
I believe so, personally. But again, given the nature of the requested records that had to do with contracts for outside counsel services, I think an additional search can always help. So,
okay. I think that's an important representative additional search just might help, particularly with so much change going on right now, a commitment to change going on.
There is a very direct finding by the hearing officer about the lack of evidence. So I, for one, would be reticent to amend that without the voice of the hearing officer there, because she's quite specific there to say that the nature and the scope of the search was not represented. So I
think that's a paragraph 14. Mm-hmm. And 19. Okay. And if you know, it's not a big bone of contention, then maybe a second search.
If I can, indulge the commission, if I can make an amendment to paragraph one of the order to change it from 7 days to 14 days.
I'll second that.
Any discussion?
I just want to, you know, I know that the office is behind. I don't want them to get further behind if they can put this in the next 2 weeks. I'm sure telling next Wednesday they need to do this.
Any discussion on the
other?
Sorry, since you're making that amendment, could I recommend a slight amendment to paragraph 12 too? I think you could combine it if it's your desire that paragraph 12 in line 3 references the fact that the complainant failed to provide any records. I think it should be the respondents. I think that's just an error there. You might want to fix that.
Oh yeah, I wrote that down.
Did you?
Yeah.
So we fixed.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'll withdraw my my amendment.
Withdraw your second.
I'll withdraw the second.
I'll make a new amendment for the hearing officer's report that in paragraph 12 we change the wording from the complainant to the respondent, and then in the number one, that's in paragraph 12, and in paragraph one of the order to change it from 7 days to 14 days.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded on the amendment. Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call on the amendment only. Those in favor of the amendment, Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Kizeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Myself, Owen Egan, yes. Amendment passes unanimously. I then entertain a motion on the decision of amendment.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move the amended hearing officer's report for adoption.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call. Those in favor, Mr. Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Kizeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Down to docket number FIC 2022-0127, Anita Arakelian versus Chair, Board of Education, West Hartford Public Schools, et al. Please identify yourselves for the record, starting with you.
My name is Anita Deonantia Arakelia.
Thank you.
Attorney Cynthia Latour on behalf of the respondents.
Thank you. As I said earlier, I am a resident of West Hartford and I'm a West Hartford probate judge. I don't believe that presents a conflict with me sitting on this matter, but if anyone would like me to recuse myself, I would be happy to do so. Okay?
No objection. Okay.
Thank you. All right.
Do they agree with Park?
I am perfectly fine for the commission to adopt the report as is written.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Arakelian?
So I want my speech for both of them because case 0181 was filed. That Freedom of Information Act was a result of the February 15th Freedom of Information. Sorry, request. So
can you just speak up for the recording device?
Yeah, so actually I have a combined speech, which I try to limit down to 10 minutes.
Okay.
So can I be heard on both at the same time, please? That was my assumption.
I would say yes, but just want the record to be clear that we are not consolidating these matters. They're not just one issue taken together. We're not going to consolidate them, but if it's the will of the commission to hear your argument on both cases at one time, I'm assuming the respondent wouldn't object to that.
Hopefully we're mentally nimble enough to figure that out.
So if you've written a speech for both, that's all right. You can give that.
Because I did submit.
This will be following your
Your
presentation. And so you won't have to read it twice. We'll go to the next one after that and you can say, I repeat the argument I just made, okay?
As long as you're not bringing any new testimony to either.
Okay.
So I am here today to ask the commissioners pertaining to FIC 2022-0127, A, to amend the hearing officer's report for the reasons found in my February 14th submittal,
B, to find the respondents did violate general Connecticut General Statutes 1-210A and 1-212A for paragraphs 2B1, which it was, but also 2C1. C, to impose a similar penalty on the respondents given the magnitude and totality of the respondents' noncompliance with the FOIA Act. And I ask that if the civil penalty went to be imposed on the school district, then it should be the minimum of the civil penalty, so it's not to remove the funds away from goods and services meant to benefit the students. D, to compel the respondents to provide the records within 5 days, which is very reasonable to demand. And there are two reasons why I say this. First of all, the respondents had 33 days from January 20th, when the hearing was held, to today to provide the records, and a totality of 372 days from February 15th to today to comply with the FOIA request. Most importantly, and this is the second reason, as I emphasized during the evidentiary hearing, these records are important for this simple fact that 7 people vote on the budget. As it stands today, the 7 Board of Education members who will be voting on the budget, it will be done in 41 days from today. For some, they need to know whether these financial records exist, and if they exist, do these records prove to be verifiable documentation of the figures shown on the budget proposal compiled and reported by Elizabeth Hewitt, as pertaining to FIC 2022-0181. I asked the commissioners, A, to reject the hearing officer's recommendation of the dismissal of complaint, B, to find the respondents did violate General Statutes 1-210A and 1-212A, as explained in my submittal, C, to impose a civil penalty on the respondents given the magnitude and totality of the respondents' noncompliance with the FOIA Act, and I ask again that if the civil penalty be imposed on the school district, at the minimum civil penalty cost, so as not to remove the funds away from goods and services meant to benefit the students. And D, to compel the respondents to do an exhaustive search of their files and to provide the responsive records within 30 days. So what are the issues of the case? Well, there are 3 main issues. 1, were the complainants' FOIA requests broad in scope? 2, did the respondents meet their burden of proof for complying with the FOIA Act? And 3, did the hearing officer use arbitrary discretion when giving his findings, conclusions, and recommendations? Going to point 1, were the complainant FOIA requests broad in scope? And I use the term broad in scope because in acknowledging my February 15th FOIA, respondent's legal representative uses boilerplate statements in acknowledging my FOIA request, and I'm sorry if I repeat. And I quote, the broad scope of your request makes responding to your request time consuming. I replied over the weekend. I replied to this misstatement of fact by noting for the respondents that my request was specific in nature, given that I used the respondents' own terminology, specifically textbooks, which they have coded as 5520, workbooks coded as 5525, test materials coded as 5545, and instructional improvement coded as 5312. It was also specific because I requested for two academic years, 2020 to 2021 and 2021 to 2022. Both academic years were and are current and relevant according to the respondent's own budget report. In my reply to the legal representative with specificity, I stated, by when I wanted the records. And I quote here, please remind Ms. Hewitt that her duty is to fulfill the FOIA request, preferably before March 1st presentation of the WHPS budget by Mr. Moore. Otherwise, parents will be questioning whether the figures Mr. Moore presents are verifiable by documentation. I repeat here, the important phrase here is the figures are verifiable, the numerical figures on the budget are verifiable by documentation. I make clear indication of the importance of these records in my first statement. The matter does concern the public interest of the parents and guardians of students who attend the West Hartford Public Schools and the residents of the town of West Hartford. In other words, respondents are not allowed to rewrite the requester's request through the usage of boilerplate statements, and in fact, the respondents and broad scope, and in fact, the respondents were well aware of the specificity of my request. Specificity was also addressed in my other two FOIA requests, which, you know, I document even more thoroughly in my February 14th submittal. Going to prong two, did the respondents meet their burden of proof for complying with the FOIA Act? Well, let's examine the prongs. There are two prongs, conducting a thorough and exhaustive search for response or records. For the March 14th request, Melissa Behrens failed to directly answer whether she searched her files, not the school's files, for any communications of memos and or letters. The full explanation, obviously, I give in the submission. As to the email communications at the hearing and prior to the hearing, respondent Sergeant Sean Nagel failed to provide the list of query terms he used. At the hearing, under cross-examination, he recollected inputting email address as a query term. This is problematic because my email address associated with my son's was manually changed by a Webster Hills staff member, resulting in the unfortunately grievous situation that I did not receive notification of reminders for programs that my son was enrolled. Which begs the question, how thorough was the search that John Nagel did if an important long existing email address, this is my second son, there's an age difference, before Melissa Behrens ever became principal of Webster Hill School, was changed to an unknown email address. As to providing records for personnel who accessed my son's records, in one sentence, Sean Nagel was not a credible witness. His statements of, I don't know, and I don't understand the question, and there could be logs, but honestly, I'm not sure. He didn't even know which age groups would have records in the digital platforms. Ultimately, Sean Nagel's statements are not statements of someone who did an exhaustive search whether these records exist. As an aside, we are talking about cybersecurity risk in which an IT manager, not just for the school system, but for the town, doesn't know how to look into the very real situation when it comes to searching for who accessed the digital records. The second prong of the act is providing the records promptly, the word promptly. So the question is applying the promptness standard. Elizabeth Hewitt, beyond a shadow of a doubt, has not provided the records in a promptly manner as defined by FOIC advisory number 51. I explained this in my submittal. With all due respect, even the simple mathematics of calculating work production effort, Elizabeth Hewitt's own actions and testimony indicate that she did not regard my FOIA request as a primary duty, especially given that that duty was in line with the cost-benefit analysis of complying with the request vis-a-vis the department's other duties. In reviewing the respondent's exhibits, one only needs to look at respondent's exhibit 16 to see how respondent's attorney LaCure mischaracterizes the situation when she states Ms. Arakelian amended her request. For the record, I did not amend my request. Respondents did not hand over all the copies, which is to say there were 5 sheets of paper. When I did my number crunching, I realized that there was a shortage. So I asked for that 5th sheet. Does the word amend, This is not a situation of amending. This is a situation of rectifying, and that's all I asked was to get the missing sheet. The third prong is, did the hearing officer use arbitrary discretion when giving his findings, conclusions, and recommendations? The answer is yes. Given that I have written extensively on this matter in my February 14th submittal, I will just bring up 6 examples of arbitrary discretion. The hearing officer rewrote my own words when he changed all records to school records. This is an important specificity to acknowledge. It should be returned to all records. The hearing officer completely ignored the fact that there are digital records that a West Hartford Public School staff member has access to. And in fact, a record such as my email address was changed, and there was testimony on this, and none of it appears in the decision or recommendation. The hearing officer gave an incorrect implication when he stated that communications are done solely, and it's the word solely, through email. Especially when Melissa Barron stated under oath that it was verbal communication she had done to have my son removed from his rights to public education. The hearing officer arbitrarily did not apply all of the tenets of Advisory 51 for both cases, and I wrote in my submittal. The hearing officer did not even look at the similarities between my cases and the gold standard case cited by FOIC Commissioner of Department of Emergency Service and Public Protection versus the FOIC. In this case, which is usually cited, FOIC imposed a civil penalty to the commissioner because the department had only reviewed 700 out of 5,000 records. Elizabeth Hewitt did not have as many records to review, let alone to disclose. We are now looking at 14th Amendment rights to equal protection, since I have a property interest as well as a liberty interest in the records. I note for the record that Senior FOIA Commission Counsel Alicia D. Harmon is familiar and friends with the witness or witnesses, and she did not put it on the record at the beginning of the evidentiary hearing. As pertaining to both cases, I appealed to the commissioners to review the facts that my complaints were filed in a linear manner for calendar events, but the hearings were held in reverse order of the calendar events. I appealed to the commissioners to demand that the respondents and or their agents desist from character assassination of myself or my son and removing my son from his U.S. right to public education vis-a-vis my FOIA request that at the heart are requests looking at whether the numerical figures for expenditures provided by Elizabeth Hewitt are verifiable by documentation. I appeal to the commissioners to write a policy for when a minor child is named in a FOIA to have it redacted when the information is posted on the internet to maintain the privacy of the minor. I had motion for this, but it was denied. FOIC did not maintain a minor's privacy. At the end of the day, the most important fact is this, and I give it to you as an example. The basis of everything is finance, and how is the money used? We have three middle schools, 6th to 8th grade. Science, to my knowledge, 2 textbooks per table. The textbooks aren't allowed to leave the classroom. That's how science is taught. This harkens to the day of the one-room classroom of colonial times on the East Coast and as expansion to the West went on the prairies. This is why I am here today. And I've been, the cost that I've had to bear and my son has had to bear has been unfair. And that's why I asked for civil penalty and a review of all the facts, the salient facts, the facts that would change the outcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, with respect to docket FIC 2022-0127, I would urge the commission to adopt the hearing officer's proposed final report. On February 15th, 2022, the complainant made a request to the respondents for expenditures for various items, such as changing the names of the town's 2 high school mascots, expenditures for textbooks, workbooks, and test materials, and expenditures for instructional improvements. At the time, the respondents provided the responsive records on March 15th, 2022. The complainants were acting in good faith and believe that they had provided all of the responsive records to the extent that they existed. The respondents did not have anything responsive to the complainant's request for changing any records with respect to changing the names of the high school mascots, but had provided journal entries in response to the request for instructional improvements and for journal entries for the names of textbook workbooks and what was the other item was, and test materials. The respondents have no issue with the hearing officer's proposed final decision that we subsequently provide purchase orders and invoices to reflect the names of the textbooks, workbooks, and test materials, and as such would urge the commission to adopt this hearing officer's proposed decision. With respect to 2022-0181, we are looking at actually two separate requests that were consolidated for one hearing. So the first request specifically is dated March 16th, 2022, and that was a request by the complainant for any and all, well, it's listed on the proposed hearing officer's report as item number two, and that was a request for all communications between the principal of Webster Hill School, the complainant, and the complainant's son, and then a list of personnel who accessed the complainant's son's school records. At the time, well, still now, the respondents do not have anything responsive to the latter portion of the complainant's request, which was a list of all personnel who accessed the complainant's son's records, but provided the complainant with all email communications they believe to be responsive to her request. She does make note in her brief that we didn't reference verbal communications, but obviously the commission's scope is with respect to actual records, and we don't actually have records reflecting verbal communications, so she was provided with all communications that the respondents maintained responsive to her request. So that's the first portion of the complainant's request for March 16th. The second request was dated April 6, 2022, and that was a series of requests for numerical figures associated with West Hartford Public Schools as directed to the school's director of finance. This was, I believe the complainant referenced what was prompt with respect to this request. At the time that this was presented in front of the hearing officer, the respondents had provided some of the responsive records to this request, but still had over 230 records to continue to look for. If you refer to the hearing officer's report, items number 12, I believe it's, excuse me, not 12, but 27, the school's director of finance outlines the process that she took to try to identify the responsive records to her request, the complainant's request. And the respondents never denied the complainant's request, but continued to work on it in addition to all of the other aspects of the respondent's position. So in addition to all of the other things that the respondents had to do, they also tried to work on the respondent's remaining 230 items to her request. At this time, the respondents have completed everything responsive to this portion of the request and would urge that the commission adopt the hearing officer's proposed report.
I'm just for the record, this is Attorney Harmon. I sat in on docket number 2022-0181, and for purposes of clarity, I just want to say, as this commission's counsel, as an officer of the court, I did not know any of the witnesses who testified in 2022-0181, and I want that to be clear for the record.
Thank you. We're going to call 181 after this, as you suggested, Attorney Murphy, correct?
Well, the arguments, I think you've got all of the arguments of them, but that just wanted just to be clear that they're not consolidated matters, they're two separate matters.
Okay, so we don't have to call it.
We'll call it, but yeah. I don't think we need.
Yeah, I think you should call it, but I don't think there will be any
need
for it.
Incorporate all the arguments into that record as well. Okay. Do any of the commissioners have any questions?
I have a question here, Lester.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, 127. So, Commissioner Zach Hyde.
record.
Yep.
Thank you, Attorney.
This one was, which is the 2022-0127. I didn't see anything about civil penalties mentioned. That was that something that was brought up?
I don't believe the civil penalties were asked for in this one. I know they were in 01B1. Let me just double check my records.
Same thing with promise too.
Yeah, promise was not brought up with this one either.
But in 181 it was.
It was, yes. Yes.
Okay, just want to make sure that that was the case, because unless the complaint and ask for it, we can't really act on it. And so I didn't see if there was anything on that. And it was also brought up by the complainant about amending the order to have it within 5 days. I think that's, you know, 5 days, it's, I just want clarification, that's calendar days, correct? Usually when we say 60 days, it's like 60 days out. So we're talking if we were to humor that amendment, it would be done due Monday.
Yes, and I do take administrative notice of 2022-0181 in this report, specifically because in paragraph 27 of that report, it outlines all of the work that the respondents need to do to comply with these requests. And it is a lot. So that's why I allowed for the 60 days to comply.
Thank you. That's all. No further questions.
Okay. Any further questions from the commissioners? Correct that, Carolyn. You actually were successful in the first matter, correct?
There should be civil penalty.
I'm sorry?
There should be civil penalty because I had asked it for the prior one. And there it is because it is so...
Let's refer to it so we're clear. We bounced around. 0127 was the first one.
Correct, but it wasn't heard till after 0181.
Right, but that's they take them based on what you've complained about. Your complaint is what you've complained about.
Right.
And Attorney Hyde is explaining to you and to us that there was no request for civil penalty and there was no promptness argument. So your opponent...
The promptness argument was there. It was in the complaint that they didn't provide all in a prompt manner. It was in the complaint and that I was asking.
The complaint on 0127. Because Attorney Hyde is saying it wasn't there. Is that correct, Attorney Hyde?
Yeah. So for 2022-0127, the complaint was that the records were not provided. The respondents erroneously thought that they had provided all records, and all records that were provided promptly. There was no issue of promptness.
Okay.
But there was a specific item, a word that was not looked at, I guess, closely in the request, and that's why there are additional records that need to be provided. So there was no issue of promptness. The respondents did not comply. They're now being told they need to because they violated.
And your order is that the town comply within 60 days, so that they have a little time to gather those records.
That's correct. And then at the other one, 0181.
I don't think you should comment on that.
Okay.
Because you weren't the attorney on it. But is it Jermaine?
He was.
Oh, you were. I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's all right. On that one, the complainant did specifically at the hearing complain about promptness. So that's why promptness was part of my analysis.
Okay. I was confused because...
I sat in, Mr. Chairman, on 0181.
Okay.
I assisted Attorney Hyde.
Okay, just identify yourself.
This is Attorney Harmon.
Thank you, Attorney Harmon.
Right. So I sat in with Attorney Hyde. I assisted him in 0181.
Okay, that was my confusion. I'm sorry. Okay. So with regard to the first one, there was no promptness argument and no request for civil penalty. So Attorney Hyde is accurate in not awarding any of those things because you didn't ask for them with regard to the first one. And you did address it, or it was addressed in the second one. Doesn't mean you got it, but it was addressed in the second one. But you were successful in 0127. You understand that? You won. Do you understand that?
I'm pretty sure I in the hearing, I
think I asked for it. I'm reading my complaint right now.
Okay.
But given that we're looking at over 365 days, that's why I'm reviewing. It's a question of reviewing my notes.
Well, it's a question of reviewing your complaint.
That's
what did you ask for? And that's what Attorney Hyatt has gone over and said it was not asked for in the first matter, which is 0127, but it was asked for in the second matter.
So if we read it, and this is because I'm not an attorney, I don't know specifics. Dear Mr. Hennick, I'm writing to the commission to declare that the West Hartford Public Schools has violated the Connecticut Freedom of Information Act. At that point, I was thinking of all aspects of the act, because I put the Connecticut Freedom of Information, the act itself. And there is a promptness standard there, and there is a civil penalty standard. And we are looking at over 365 days, and we are looking at the fact that you have seven board members who have to vote on this.
So even though you mentioned the act, you have to specifically say, I want a civil penalty. And people who do not say that do not get a civil penalty. So I just wanted you to understand that. You have to specifically say
that.
Is it
within your discretion, given the severity of the situation?
No. You have to specifically ask for that, because your opponent isn't ready to address that. And you want to be fair to both sides. So
the only way it could be addressed, since you've raised it now, is for the commission to remand the matter for another hearing, because it wasn't raised earlier, and to allow the respondents an opportunity to defend as to why there was no violation that would warrant a penalty. I'm not suggesting you do that, but that would be what would be required, and I don't think there's really even any time to do that if you were so inclined.
I don't think I've done that since I've been on the commission. That would be very rare that we would do that.
Right. If it's not raised in the complaint,
right,
even at the hearing, then it would have to be done through another process, another hearing, with that specific purpose.
Well, I have a question.
It would almost be without jurisdiction anywhere in the hearing.
Right. It doesn't seem likely, and it's very rare that
it
would ever be done.
No.
So,
so I have a question.
Did you wish to respond?
No.
Counsel? Okay. Yes, ma'am.
So, I haven't had a chance to listen to the audio tape, but if I listen to the audio tape and it says that I did ask for it at the hearing, then what occurs?
I think it should have been put into the, it's actually five here, paragraph five. When the complainant appeals to the FOI, it should be in their appeal. It's not just if they say something at a hearing. If they say it at the hearing and it hasn't been, that did not give them a chance to prepare for that.
No, it's
be in their letter to the commission.
Yeah, we're without jurisdiction, so I really don't think we should.
So even if you hear you say it, it's too late.
No.
Freedom of information is meant for those of us who are not attorneys to be able to navigate. So again, I repeat my understanding of the FOIA Act and reading Chapter 14.
Yeah, if it was
all part of it. It didn't say you have to go to. You have to.
I don't think she needs to keep going.
Right.
But this between the. Yeah. I mean, it would be a broad brush that you would just say, "I am appealing to the Freedom of Information with on anything and everything that could possibly go wrong." You can't do that. You have to be specific, and we're bound jurisdictionally by the general statutes. If you have an issue with that, you're more than welcome to go to the General Assembly and change the law. Mr. Chairman, I move adoption here.
Second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. This is the adoption of 0127, right? Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Again, I just want to be sure I got those in favor of the decision in FIC 2022-0127. Those in favor, Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we take docket number FIC 2022-0181 out of order to this point in the agenda.
I'm sorry, did you say 181?
I want to take 181 out of order.
Yes, a second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded to take this out of order and take it up now. Is there discussion on that?
Yeah, just as far as I'm concerned, you know, promptness, this issue was...
I think we still have to move this forward. This is, just to move it forward before we have discussion.
You wanted my thoughts on
any discussion on moving this matter forward? Okay. On the agenda. I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fusashi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. So we're now, I guess, taking up docket number FIC 2022-0181, Anita Arakulian versus Superintendent of Schools, West Hartford Public Schools, et al. We have before us, ma'am, could you please introduce yourself?
Anita Arakulian.
On behalf of the respondent, Cynthia Latour.
Thank you. All right. So, Attorney Murphy, just how should I proceed on this? Do I just ask them to adopt what they... So this is very unusual.
Well, maybe we just have the parties indicate that they've made their arguments, as I believe they have, on this case as well as the prior case.
Okay.
And then if that is the case, then you could proceed to deliberate.
Ms. Murakulian, would you like us to incorporate your arguments from the last hearing into this hearing?
Correct. Yes, please.
Okay. And then... Council,
I would also like to incorporate my arguments from the previous hearings in this one.
Thank you. I appreciate your both of your help on this. And now, Commissioner Hankins, you were waiting patiently.
Well, I'm not really patiently, but thank you. It's just that the hearing officer did, my opinion, the issue of promptness was fairly and thoroughly discussed by the designated hearing officer. And, you know, given that, I'm not going to just substitute my judgment for that of the hearing officer in this regard. So I would go along with his decision.
Attorney Hyde, did you wish to say anything about this matter?
No, other than what I previously said, I would also incorporate into, from the prior decision, I'd incorporate those comments to this insofar as they refer to this hearing officer's report.
Anything further? Okay. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Streeter, I'll leave it up to the hearing officer report.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'm going to take a roll call on all those in favor of FIC 2022-0181. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Attorney. Thank you, counsel. Good arguments. All right. 1 second. Okay. So docket number FIC 2022-0174, Polly Nugent versus Chief Police Department, Town of Guilford, et al.
Already argument on this?
Yes, and for the record, Mark Sommer from Pullman and Conley for Polly Nugent. We were here on November 16th, and after argument, I think the commissioners indicated they wished to themselves examine the documents that were submitted in camera.
That's correct, and the hearing officer at that time was not present with us. So I think we wanted to have the benefit of the hearing officer as well.
All right. Could the parties please identify themselves for the record? I know it
Attorney Samaruga just did. But.
Sucker McQueedy, Sussman Duffy, Segaloff for the respondents.
Attorney Samaruga, would you identify yourself again, please?
Oh, yes. Mark Samaruga of Pullman and Conley for Polly Nugent, who is the complainant in this matter.
Would you like to begin?
Yeah, I don't want to do a complete, I almost want to say I adopt the arguments I made previously, but I'll give a summary of them. It was our position in that case, in this case, that there was a request for certain records, a police incident report, and the reason given, I believe, by the town in this case was these were documents that were exempt from disclosure because they were uncorroborated allegations. We had argued previously that in this case, we had, first of all, Polly Nugent, the complainant, had cooperated with the police and given, obviously, her version of events. She then supplied to the police a letter from the person who she alleged committed these heinous acts that we would believe could be akin to a confession. After that, and this is based upon the testimony, Polly Nugent testified that the officer was investigating indicated that she had interviewed the perpetrator. He had admitted to his wrongdoings to the extent that he didn't admit a specific act, but he indicated during his interview that he had done a lot of inappropriate things to Polly Nugent and would go to jail if he described the specifics of what he had done to her. Benton had described his touching, because this was a claim of molestation, as being quote-unquote light in nature, but he said he wouldn't go into detail in his own words because he could go to jail for those actions. And we believe that was sufficient, that there was sufficient corroboration. So there was a request made for the records. The request was denied based upon the uncorroborated allegations exemption. We pointed out in the brief we filed below that, look, standard, sort of the gold standard in this area of the law for uncorroborated allegation was a case called Gottlieb several years ago, which adopted Black's Law Dictionary, and saying as the state facts tending to produce confidence in the truth of a statement made by another to give increased support to make more sure of it. And the fact that in that Gottlieb case, the case was not prosecuted or there were not an arrest was not dispositive. That this, you know, the fact that, you know, there wasn't deemed to be probable cause is in these cases is not dispositive of the claim whether there's corroboration. The fact that the statute of limitations has expired is not dispositive whether there's corroboration. And we cited that some cases in our brief previously. We're not asking, and this came up back on November 16th, for this STEAM commission to second guess the investigation that was done by the Guilford Police Department. We're not asking that. We're just saying based on the investigation that was done, there was sufficient corroboration in the record. We have not only the records themselves, but we have the situation here where the assailant himself did not deny the allegations and frankly, some degree admitted to committing these offenses. So we argue that the complainant's own version of events, the letter that was furnished as part of the hearing by the complainant, which was a letter from the perpetrator admitting to some, asking for forgiveness for committing some inappropriate acts. And we have his non-denial where he indicates he could go to jail if he gave the specific acts. That was sufficient corroboration to get past the exemption. And these arguments I made November 16th, and I stand behind them. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you. Thank you for summarizing those again. Counsel?
I wasn't here in November, but just sort of based on the submissions, I think that the complainant's position is a little more looking to sort of evaluate the investigation that was conducted by the police department. You know, I think there's suggestions in that there was a list of people that could have been interviewed that were not. I think that's sort of looking at evaluating the investigation rather than the response to the FOI request. You know, and I think that's sort of, I'm trying to choose my words carefully here, it's sort of a narrow path. That this is, I think Gottlieb is distinguishable, that there were other people that sort of responded. So there were other individuals sort of presented similar complaints, so I think Gottlieb's distinguishable. I think the hearing officer's decision should be adopted.
Okay.
I would just say again, we point out that there were other individuals that were asked to interview. We understand we can't go in a time machine and have those people interviewed. We think that based upon what was here in the record, and also pointing to Gottlieb, other people were interviewed. We'd argue that the alleged perpetrator's own comments, admissions, non-denials, provides that corroboration. That's simply our position.
And if I could just add on to that, you know, I think that there were other statements in the sort of there were denials in the sort of the statement that was offered by the alleged perpetrator. It was not as focused. It was not as consistent. So I would just sort of say that it was determined by the people that are sort of trusted with making those determinations that. You know, this was not sufficiently corroborated, at least as far as when the request was made in February. Anything sort of came in after that. And I would also add that there was a list provided, but there was also a request by the completed not to interview anybody besides the perpetrator.
And again, we understand we can't touch
it. You got to ask for permission.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I want to just confirm that the fact that there were a list provided, but there was, I would not disagree with that. But we're not asking you to look at the list of persons that were interviewed. We actually look at what was that investigated. So, yeah. Thank you. I'm sorry for interposing.
That's okay. It was a discussion back and forth.
No, I was trying to actually support my saying I agree with something, which is.
Thank you. Do any commissioners have any comments?
I have
questions.
I did look at the in-camera records, and I was just wondering how the compliance attorney, knew so much about this, because a lot was covered. I don't want to. I'm not going to, razor's edge talking about all this. But to me, there was corroboration in here. It is corroborated allegations, and I think it went even beyond corroboration into the realm of probable cause. But we only look at corroboration, and I think it's sufficiently documented in these statements and whatever from the individual alleged to have committed these acts. So I would respectfully reverse the decision. I mean, I think it were corroborated allegations. I know Commissioner Streeter looked at them with me. I don't know if other commissioners have done this, looked at them too, but.
Commissioner Streeter.
Yes,
as Commissioner Hanks said, I did review these. I know there was a situation where the statute of limitations may have expired and that they may not have even, without giving out too much information, but this was provided by the prior counsel, the Guilford went above and beyond what they may have been statutorily required to do by looking into this. Having looked at them, I mean, it is a razor's edge. It's right on the was corroborating or not. I thought that there was certain documents there that did show that there was more than what I'm not a lawyer, but there seemed to be that there was some indication that there was some wrongdoing done. I mean, I don't know if you have any questions with the hearing officer or not. If you want just the analysis that you had performed.
Does you have anything?
I do.
I'd like to hear from the hearing officer, please.
Barbara Hausen, for the record, I was a hearing officer. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, commissioners. This was a very tough hearing to sit through. My recollection is that we went almost 3 hours, because I did allow the complainant a lot of latitude to present her case, and the issue was very emotional for her, and it was a lot. So in my mind, I respectfully disagree with Attorney Sumaruga, who was not present at the hearing, but reviewed the record carefully and with all due respect, Attorney Sinaruga did not look at the in-camera record for obvious reason. The question in my mind is, does the report at issue contain uncorroborated allegations, which is one thing, which is what we are here to determine. And then I think the issue that Attorney Sinaruga is throwing in the mix is, did the complainant at the hearing and her witnesses corroborate her statements? So we're looking at the record that I reviewed in camera, and the record and the record of the evidence are not identical. So I reviewed the record in camera to determine whether or not the allegations as made by the complainant are corroborated. I have a whole lot of statements and witnesses that the complainant brought at the hearing to try to corroborate her statements. Maybe she did at the hearing corroborate her statements, depending on the weight we give to all of those witnesses. But the limited and narrow question is, we're dealing with a record, and not whether her statements were corroborated at the hearing of almost 3 hours. The documents at issue are a few. It's her statement and the alleged perpetrator's statement. And as the respondent indicated in the record, the way the police department proceeded with the investigation, complainant may take issue with that. We're not here to determine that. They proceeded and they interviewed only the alleged perpetrator. At the hearing, the complainant brought a string of people to try to corroborate her statements. Again, I just want to draw that distinction for the commissioners, that the question of whether her statements were corroborated at the hearing is separate and not before the commission. The issue before the commission is the record that the police department compiled in their investigation and report, whether we agree that they did a good job or not. Do those records that they have contain, you know, corroboration? So it was a tough line to toe, but in my experience, and I believe I was the one that wrote that Gottlieb report. I've been around as long as the I actually remember that case. So I have the benefit of having reviewed those records too. And I went and I looked at it again. This was a tough call. I would be, that's why we leave it to the commissioners who get the big bucks to make the tough calls.
I'm sorry. I might just amplify what the hearing officer said. Now, I actually have not looked at the records, but I just want you to focus on, you know, the exemption is for uncorroborated allegations of criminal activity. So even if there's some corroboration, which it sounds like there might have been just from the public comments, is it corroboration of the alleged criminal activity? Very specific to the particular crime alleged. I think it's like corroboration with a capital C versus corroboration with a lowercase c. So while there might be something similar in it, is it corroboration of the crime that was alleged? I'm not even familiar with what the crime was that's alleged here, but you've got to look very carefully at that statute and then at the records, as the hearing officer said she did. And I think most of you did look at the records, if not all. I think that Commissioner Einhorn may have reviewed the records as well.
I'd like to take a 5-minute break to look at the record again, if we can. I don't know.
Sure.
Everyone else, please.
You're going to lose me here, so I just need to call back.
You're going to drop?
Well, I can
just
hold for 5 minutes. That's fine.
Okay.
I'll put it on hold. That's fine.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. So we'll take a 5-minute break.
Thank you. Just have to short. Set them out of the camera area. Should I go?